This Sunday marks 6 months since a deadly tsunami struck mass areas of Asia and coastal areas of East Africa. The devastation was enormous. More than 280,000 people lost their lives. More than 1 million lost their homes. Since the tsunami hit last December, donations of money and supplies from around the globe have amounted to billions of dollars. But great challenges remain, from reconstruction of destroyed villages to mental health counseling for thousands of survivors. Scott Baldoff is a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. He's reporting a year-long series in Banda Aceh, Indonesia, where some of the worst damage occurred. Earlier, Baldoff shared with us how two working-class families he's following are struggling to rebuild.
First time we went there, we were following their attempt to get housing. One family decided to try and go through aid channels to try and get a temporary shelter, and the other just said to heck with it and built their own house. They didn't have any hope that either the government or the aid agencies were ever going to come through. So this next visit, we stopped by. Both of the families have housing. Now their big issue is to feed their families on their own without food aid coming in. Obviously, they receive food shipments and drinking water. They're dependent on all this, but they want to stand on their own feet. One day, they're the center of the universe, very, very happy. Their lives are improving. Lots of people come over and spend time with them. And then other days, they're staring off into space. There's just a lot of hurt there. But at the same time, most of the people that you do see are just desperate to recapture some part of the life they had before.
Scott Baldoff is a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, reporting from Banda Aceh, Indonesia. Now for more on the humanitarian efforts, Naomi Wiles is a program director with the International Medical Corps, a global humanitarian nonprofit. She, too, is in Banda Aceh. And Dr. Mohammed Akhtar is president and CEO of Interaction, a coalition of 160 relief and development agencies. Dr. Akhtar is based in Washington, D.C. I asked Naomi Wiles to give us a sense of how both survivors and aid workers are coping.
There's still a great deal of healing to be done, but there certainly is hope. All thoughts now are towards the huge effort ahead of, which is the reconstruction and the rehabilitation effort. Everyone's energy is focused on that.
Doctor, let me ask you, oftentimes when we see catastrophes like this, there's a rush of concern in the beginning, but often as the world turns away and lives their daily lives, those who have to live on have to struggle through that. How important is it for the world to remain involved in moving this process forward?
In the tsunami situation, there's been one important distinction than the prior relief efforts is that there is sufficient amount of money to start the development process right away after the initial phase. And so this is a little bit better situation than we have seen in the past.
And Doctor, how do you go about making sure that all who were devastated by this receive and reap the benefits? We read most recently an article written in the New York Times by Bill Clinton, a portion of it suggesting that there's a need to make sure that an action plan is detailed to make sure that no one is left out.
I think there are two important distinctions. The first is that when there is a disaster, just like tsunami, then everybody moves in and everybody gets the help. But subsequently, it depends upon the local country government to really make the arrangement for the development, and international community and the local governments work together. And that's where tsunami may wash away everything else, but the local politics remain alive, and there are always delays in government giving authorization for building or government sometimes not fairly treating some segment of its own population.
Naomi, what's the biggest hurdle right now when we're talking about $1 billion of relief monies for this effort?
Certainly, you know, International Medical Corps always seeks to collaborate with the government and governmental institutions. This process has actually proven to be a little slower than anticipated, and these are due to constraints. And the government departments within themselves also have to reestablish their offices and their infrastructure.
What can people do there seems to be a fair amount of money already at the ready. So what else can be done?
To really get them out of poverty, we need to have the government involved. And so they could talk to their congressmen, their senators, write to the president to support the development effort that's so important to pull these people out of poverty so their lives are better off than they were before. And second, that we need to work to get the businesses engaged so that the businesses start to invest in those areas and create jobs for the people so people have the livelihood. And that's the most important thing for us to do. We are in this for the long term.
All right. Well, I thank you both for joining us as we look back 6 months after the fact, as the world was shocked, and now we try to move forward. I thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Naomi Wiles is with the International Medical Corps, and Dr. Mohammed Akhtar is with InterAction.